Attention. Attention.
The live broadcast you have tuned into is a pre-recorded episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Dudes and Beer is presently traveling the vast void of time and space in an effort to find you more of the best content in the known universe. Enjoy the following transmission, and remember, if you can't be good, be good at it. Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Hey everybody, how you doing? Chris Jordan here with the Dudes and Beer podcast. Before this evening's episode, I wanted to take a minute just to introduce a brand new member of the Dudes and Beer family. He's been on a few episodes before, Matthew McPeak. How are you doing, my friend?
I am good, sir. Hello to all the Dudes and Beer listeners.
There's a reason why this preamble to our regular show is happening, you see. Matthew and I worked on the road together for a long time, and I noticed the fact that Matt was just a football guru. He was all over the place with football, always having fun in Vegas with the sport, and just was encyclopedic in his knowledge. And one night over drinks, he shared his dirty secret with me that he's really thought about starting up a fantasy football podcast. And I was like, that's funny that you say that, because I've really thought about having a Dudes and Beer adjunct fantasy football podcast. So we got our brains together. We made it happen. So yeah, tell us a little bit about how you got into playing fantasy football, Matt, and what led to the idea of not just the Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football podcast, but the league as well.
So I started playing fantasy football when I got into college. All my buddies, seems like there's a group of us that were all equally into football. So started a league, and there's nothing better than a league of, you know, 10 guys where six of them live together and the other four are always coming over, and all week it's trash talk. Mm-hmm. Some days we watched all the games together. So, you know, it was so much fun. You know, it kept going every year. I kept getting into more and more leagues. And for me, the more the leagues, the merrier. Some people tell me I'm crazy for being in, you know, seven leagues at a time. But I love it. So we decided that we wanted to start a league for both, you know, guys that are new to the sport and guys that have been doing it for some years now. And that's how we came up with the idea of the Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football League. So I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that in both your podcast and mine. So I'm excited for this year. And the funny thing about fantasy football is it's only 16, 17 weeks long if you played a week 17, which I suggest you don't. But it's a quick little thing, but it's a lot of fun. So
yeah.
So hopefully we can get some more people into it.
Well, and that's just it. I know quite a bit of our audience is football watchers. They're big football fans. We've got quite a few listeners that are part of the league, stuff like that, that responded to our Facebook request. So it's going to be great, like I said, to have a mix of people that have played before and people like myself and Steven, who have never played. Now, explain to some of us who have never played, people like Steven, myself, everything else, exactly what fantasy football is.
All right, so we're going to have a draft. We're all going to pick some running backs, some receivers, some quarterbacks, some tight ends. We're all going to pick a kicker and a defense. And every week you're going to go up against somebody, and you're going to have your roster, and you're going to set your roster, and you're going to hope that the players that you decide to play get you a lot of fantasy points, whether it be from passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards. It is a PPR league, which stands for points per reception. So guys that catch the ball are going to get points just for the catches themselves. And you guys are gonna stack up points, and at the end of Monday Night Football, then we'll see who won each week. And at the end of the regular season, the four teams that do the best will get into the playoffs.
Yep.
And the playoff season will start, and one man or woman will emerge victorious and be the Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football League champion.
That's right. That's right. And there will be a trophy to be had. There will be something that each winner will sign every year with their name and year that they won.
Awesome.
And there will be some prizes throughout the year. We're trying to contact some sponsors right now for that kind of stuff. So there will be a chance for players within the league to be on the podcast, as well as for us to reach out to other podcasts about fantasy football and everything else. So it's really great. It involves us in a whole new community, brings a whole new community of listeners to the show, and provides our listeners with something that they have been asking for a couple years now. So I'm so happy to be able to actively provide that in a good way. The day that I met Matt, it was one of those like, ooh, here's the guy. He's like Jimmy the Greek for fantasy football. Like, it's crazy, dude. The things, the stats and things
far,
that come
friend.
Out of your, well, I mean, you know, it's just the fact that you live, eat and breathe football. It's amazing to me how even whenever we worked winter shows together, like and shows in the summer, like that's all you talked about. It was great. So to me, it was a natural
preseason fit. It's preseason football season right now. So
it is.
You know,
so
pay attention to those games, because you'll see guys that are gonna be major contributors to this season. So don't sleep on these preseason games.
That's right. Don't. I even sat down and watched a little bit of stuff the other night after we talked, because it was like, yep, I need to start doing it. So I had it open in a window while I was doing some work, checking some things out, listening to things on my headphones. It is important. You know, it'll be interesting for me, to go through and pick people that I don't necessarily have any preconceived notions of. All I can do is look at cold stats on stuff. Because
sometimes that's the best way. Keep emotion out of it.
Yeah. So what are a couple of things that you can, because we'll be having the draft coming up soon. Tell us when everything's going on, and what are people should be looking for in these preseason games? What are a couple things that people should be looking at?
So one of the biggest things that you can find out with preseason games is who's probably going to be the number one running back on each mm-hmm. team. You'll be able to watch the game, and usually whoever gets the least amount of carries is probably going to be the guy that's going to get the most amount of carries throughout the regular season. Teams are going to obviously try and conserve their running backs.
Yep.
And just, you know, overall how quarterbacks look with maybe new receivers or on new teams with new offensive coordinators. That's one of the things that we got into during the recording of our first episode is new offensive coordinators on teams and how they affect certain players on
sure.
their new teams. So so that's one thing to watch for with the preseason games. And another thing is, you know, just to see maybe some guys that are coming off of injuries last year, like Dalvin Cook over in Minnesota. He's coming off of a big time ACL tear. So it's good to watch the preseason games, watch a guy with your own eyes and see how you feel about how he looks.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And preseason's important. And, you definitely want to pay attention.
That's some great insider advice to think about. I'm sitting here right now presently on our Dudes and Beer Fantasy League page on ESPN's website. And we do have a snake draft that will be coming up on Thursday, August 30th at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So, you know, Get ready for that, folks. Sit back. The idea was that while this draft goes on, you can be listening to that morning's podcast, everything else that will be draft related, all that kind of good stuff. So make sure to stay tuned. Episodes of the Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football podcast will start coming out this upcoming Thursday. So yeah, this upcoming Thursday morning will be the first official release, and I can't wait to see things. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time for being on with us tonight, bud.
No problem. I can't wait to get this podcast rolling and the regular season start. It's going to be great.
Well, and that's we'll just it. I can't wait to start having you on for you are also the commissioner, I should say, of our Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football League. So I can't wait to start having you on regularly to give us updates on Dudes and Beer at the top of the show, not just about the Fantasy Football League, but about the podcast as well, my friend.
Cool. Have a good night, my friend.
Hey, you too, man. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon. If you can't be good at it, buddy.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host. Welcome this week to our very special guest, my awesome wife and host of the Yes But Why podcast on the HC Universal Network, Amy Jordan. How's it going?
Hello.
We're going to be having an interesting conversation tonight, actually. First, let's get into the week in the news. There's been quite a bit going on, of course. We can now say former FBI agent, not FBI agent, former FBI agent, Peter Szczurek, was fired for his pre-election anti-Trump tweets between friends and his girlfriend at the time. There was also the fact that Elon Musk has confirmed the fact that he will be taking Tesla private with money from a Saudi fund. Trump calls Omarosa wacky and vicious after she unveils a new tape of the president where he supposedly uses some pretty bad language during her release from the White House. She apparently recorded the conversation of her being released from the White House.
Pretty sure that's illegal, but
so yeah, we'll see about that. there's a great article from scientificamerican.com about how freely should scientists share their data. And we've talked about that frequently on the podcast. Of course, a federal judge has finally ordered that the EPA ban a dangerous pesticide, things with chlorpyrifos, that have been used since World War II. And of course, there's the awesome news out of California where a lawn worker, a 20-year lawn worker, just won a case against Monsanto into the millions of dollars for apparently Roundup causing his cancer. So that was some pretty groundbreaking stuff. Just the fact that somebody actually won a personal court case against Monsanto for damages, and it's been said in court now, your product causes cancer. So there was that, and of course, the latest news in regards to our episode from last week about Alex Jones getting banned is that Alex Jones has been removed from Vimeo. There was some of his material there, and he was looking at going there for more material, but they have apparently deplatformed him there as well. So the deplatformization of InfoWars continues as our episodes continue. We will continue to bring coverage of that story tonight. The main reason I brought Amy on tonight was because I wanted to have a conversation about comedy in America. We've been talking a lot lately on the show about sensitivities, about I guess not necessarily political correctness, so to speak, but really the concept of doxing a couple of episodes ago. You know, where we're going as a people, why there seems to be no middle ground in our country right now, and whether or not a middle ground will be able to be found, and people decrying censorship when it comes to stuff like Alex Jones. So when it comes to that, the actual reading of the Second Amendment, like comedy, is right in there. That is actually one of the means which is protected by speech, because it was a means by which to make fun of the king, to make fun of the people who were presently in office. That was part of the whole reason behind that that First Amendment, rather, not Second Amendment, that First Amendment clause to begin with was that we needed to be able to call out the people in charge publicly without fear of recourse.
Which is kind of funny that that guy was just fired because of his anti-Trump tweets. Like, he didn't know that Trump was going to win. Okay?
No.
And I can't imagine that every Republican was, like, gung-ho for Trump right away.
No, no.
So the fact that he said anything that was anti-Trump in a public forum isn't crazy. And, like, should he lose his job? Like, maybe he did other things, and that's just sort of the icing on the cake.
I think the main problem was the fact that he was actively an investigator. Into the things going on with Trump and Hillary Clinton and everything else. So you can't, like, that's a pretty big bias as an investigator to be like, I hate this dude. Yet still you're investigating things against him.
Yeah, but it's kind of like
you can't
juries.
Really have that.
It's kind of like juries. We're all, like, pretending that they've never heard of anything. And realistically, if we're finding 12 people that haven't heard of something or haven't met someone in that's on such a large scale as that, then it's like if you haven't heard of Trump before he was president, like, I don't want you on my jury anyway, because you probably like haven't read a newspaper or like seen a
in
movie
about 35 years.
Yeah. So it's like, it's like if that's really who you need to be, like, and I understand, listen, maybe he should have been put on a different investigation, but realistically, isn't that his boss's job to be like, okay, I'm putting together a team of people who are going to investigate. These are the people that I'm going to pick. Why am I going to pick them? Because I've checked through the public information they've put out about their opinions, and I've deduced that these people are the most likely to be the most able to make a decision in the middle. You know, speaking of which, that brings me into what I was thinking about when we were talking about this.
Go ahead.
Which is the idea that at this point, for this conversation, and I say this out loud because of the stuff that's going on right now, which is to say, dear audience, you will not know what my political beliefs are. My idea of having a political discussion is arguing every possible side of it.
Exactly.
When Chris comes up with something, I will come up with the other side to try to dissect where it's coming from. I could say things that potentially could be not what I personally think.
Yes.
But I don't want you to know what I personally think, because clearly when you know what I personally think, you're going to use it against me in some way. Maybe not now, but maybe in the future. Well, they decide that me talking about whatever is no good anymore. And I'm like kicked off.
And I have to personally draw that distinction on this show, because my job as the host of a show where we have these discussions is to spur the discussion. It is to take it down rabbit holes. It is to go down other parallels that, hey, sometimes perhaps I don't believe him, but let's try to justify the thought process. Mm-hmm. Let's try and figure out what the other, with sans having that person of that mindset in here, what could be some of the actual, like, human reasons that this person thinks and believes what they do.
Also, I try not to ever get angry in when I'm talking about politics, because realistically, like, at the end of the day, I have no control over it. I can vote. I can be holding picket signs. I can go places. I can put my information out there, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what at the end of the day, what's going to be decided for me to do. I mean, even just the idea, I went to the grocery store and they now in, okay, so Austin used to have this rule where you had to bring in cloth bags, right? So like all plastic bags, if you wanted them, they'd charge you for them, right? Well, they decided all of a sudden that there's a state law that says that you can't do that. You can't limit the kind of bags that you can have or something like that. You can't create this rule. It's the state's job to come up with the law and not the city. Well, then if that's the case, why is the city allowed to make any laws if the state can just swing in later and be all like, oh, that was a sweet idea you guys had, but like, no. And so that makes me think of all of this, where it's like, I can't say one thing, and then somebody's gonna swing in and be like, just kidding, you can't say that anymore.
It's the fact that the city's job is to make ordinance, not law.
Still, it's just an ordinance about using cloth bags. They just made it so
But the problem is, you're creating an ordinance that now regulates business. That has to be done through judicial means. That has to be done through legislative means. You can't just pass an ordinance that fully affects every business around you. That's up to the Texas, like,
well, then they shouldn't have been able to do it at the beginning.
That's up to the comptroller and stuff like that.
Then why is that even a thing? Then why did it even happen? It's been in effect for like 4 years. It's not like it was yesterday and they're like, oops, just kidding. You guys don't get to make that rule. It was like 4 years later and I own 50 cloth bags. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way.
To be fair, we owned those bags before the ban.
No, not all of them.
Not all of them. A good five of them.
Yeah, well, when you work at a company where they make them, you have a couple. But no, now it's a lot. Well, regardless.
And that kind of brings us into the topic, because like you said, we're both devil's advocate folk. We've had the conversation a lot in our household, especially having a young male son, about what the future holds, not just societally, but digitally, with doxing and everything else. The real thing that spurred this conversation that I was like, I want my next episode to be about this, not only because it's in the news, but because I think it's a conversation that we as a country need to have again. It's one of those conversations, kind of like, I'm not even going to call it a conversation. It's just a fact. There is no way you could ever make a movie like Blazing Saddles again.
No.
Not in today's climate, in today's society. There's no way, not even with black writers writing the lines for the black characters the way that they had it in Blazing Saddles. No way.
No.
It would not be able to exist. It would be completely bombed at the box office. It would not be the legend that this original comedy is. And it's interesting how comedy flexes and changes with society. The rules of comedy are pretty static.
Well, okay, if that's what you want to talk about first, okay, then let me tell you this.
Let's build a little framework real quick, just so our audience understands, you know, because I mention you a lot on the show, and the fact that you teach improv comedy, you teach sketch comedy, and that, like, even whenever you have students, you have to give them the framework of, listen, a lot of what you may just, like, laugh at off the cuff, is it really comedy per se?
There's a difference. Okay, so comedy, like all art, is a means of expression. People are trying to express themselves through it in whatever way that they are. And the problem with the way people are trying to express themselves right now is that their emotions are so close to their skin. They're so closely set off. They feel like they've been hurt and betrayed all over the place. So they're upset, and so they lash out. So there's a phrase called low-hanging fruit, and that is what is the easiest comedy to do, which is like the silly things that, like a person falling, a pie in the face, or making fun of what a person physically looks like, any number of it, whether it's like, I can't believe that person's wearing pigtails and they're an adult, or it's like man bun or whatever, or if it gets much worse than that and people are like, look at that guy on crutches, ha ha ha, like, whoa. That's the low-hanging fruit. You can laugh at that, sure. When a person falls and they're a stranger, it's hilarious, right? Everyone loves it.
Sometimes
but it's
not funny when they're a friend.
But it's not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That person has been hurt. That's a sad situation. You don't want to do that, right? So the reason – well, when I teach comedy, I'm trying to teach a way to express what you want by placing it in a sort of an analogous situation. Now, first thing is I try to come at my – I teach them different formats of creating stuff, and then I start asking them, what's the joke? What's the basic idea of the joke? Is the joke, it's funny that Tom falls on his face? Okay, but why is it funny that Tom falls on his face? Is he a jerk? And so when he falls, you like feel vindicated? Is Tom the kind of person who's just very innocent? And like when he falls, he's all like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, what part of it is the crux of the joke? And then flesh it out from there. So the problem is that people right now are kind of also, wait, another thing. There's the way you build comedy when it comes to starting with what is real life and then making it wilder than real life. Real life is a crazy place. I have to say this in every comedy class I teach. Real life is a crazy place. Real life is not what you're doing when you're doing comedy. You're not walking out there and telling them the news. You are not telling them a true statement. It doesn't matter how true it is or how funny it is that it's true. That's not the way comedy works. Certainly not anymore. You have to take an idea and put it in a wilder environment so that a person makes it feel more palatable for a person to accept the idea of it, right? So instead of a person, there was a great satire sketch that was written a few years ago and in the show that I do. And it was about when gay marriage first became legal. And there was that one gal, Kim somebody in Kentucky or something, that worked in the marriage license office that was like, I'm not doing the rule.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's a law now. I'm not
filling out your paperwork.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. This person wrote a sketch about an ice cream shop where two guys came in and asked if they could get vanilla ice cream with chocolate chip cookies crumbled on top. And she said, that's an abomination. I will not do that for you. And they're like, but you have an option in your flavors that's chocolate, that's cookies and cream. That's already mixed together. Why don't you just give us this separate bit? We just like it differently, but it's pretty much the same. So why don't you just give us that? And she's like, no, if you want cookies and cream, I'll give it to you because that's what the way God intended it. But this crumbly stuff
on top.
Broken. No, I'm not doing that extra thing because that is not what is intended. That wasn't the way ice cream was supposed to be. So it was a good analogy because the scene's about an ice cream shop, but instead it's about a woman who refuses to allow herself to see things two different ways, even though realistically they're the same.
Sure.
But because her brain won't allow her to see it, that's what happens in it, right? But that is something you have to move far away from it. If they walked in and they were like, marriage license office, and had a conversation about gay marriage, not a comedy, because you're in the real world. When you state stuff, and the world is crazy. The world is crazy. It's a weird, insane, amazing place where things that are true are crazier than any comedy you could ever write, which means it's harder out there for you comedians. You actually have to do work.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are mad when people go for low-hanging fruit.
I say it all the time. You hear me say it whenever you're flipping through stuff, and I'm like, I don't really care for the guy that much. You know, it's not really intelligent humor to me. And that's how I feel about. Well, granted, I also love my Blazing Saddles and a good fart scene.
You tell a terrible joke as well. Low-hanging fruit station is your favorite kind of comedy. I'm always yelling at you about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. My jokes are horrifying. I know some great, horrible, filthy jokes.
He just does it so I shake my head at him. I mean, that's half of it, right? But when you're on the internet and you're doing this, you have to remember, it's like what they told you about texts. There's no inflection in texts.
Yes.
There's no inflection in email. Nobody knows what you mean.
Exactly.
Nobody knows when you're being sarcastic. P.S., by the way, I've taught a lot of comedy classes. I just want to dispel a notion. Put this in your brain. Write it down. Grab a pen right now.
Do it.
Sarcasm is not an emotion.
No.
P.S., in case you're wondering, sarcasm is not an emotion. When I say to you, what is that character feeling right now? They're feeling sarcastic. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Sarcastic is not an emotion. You cannot feel sarcastic.
You are a sarcastic person.
You can, the tone of voice that you can use is sarcastic. You can be explained, but it's not. Also, it's the worst kind of funny because it tries to be two things at once. It wants to be, it's like when you're trying, when you're acting nice, but really you're acting nice to be mean. It's too much. And you certainly can't get it in a tweet, right?
Yeah.
So you got to be careful when you're writing jokes on tweets that if you read them in any other tone than your own voice, sounds terrible or
sarcasm
crazy.
Sarcasm to comedy is as dogging is to dating.
dogging.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You remember like back in the early 2000s, it was like this thing where it was like, if you wanted a girl to be up around you and everything, you'd be like, man, go, I don't want to date you. What are you talking about?
Oh, negging.
Negging
is the negging, proper
dogging,
word.
Yeah.
I've never heard dogging.
Yeah.
The proper book on dating
negging.
Refers to it as negging.
Negging, yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing. People comparing sarcasm to comedy, you know. Yeah.
Oh, those are the same kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guys that are still out there using negging as a tool to get dates, those are the guys who are writing racist tweets and think that they've made a joke.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't understand how that's a joke. That actually happened yesterday in Tennessee. Maybe we should just be sad as opposed to write a joke like, haha, wouldn't that be funny if this happened?
It did.
It's terrible.
Just
the world is a terrible place.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling us.
And, you know, even myself with the Dudes and Beer group on Facebook, go check out the Dudes and Beer group on Facebook. With the stories that I put on there, I have to try to find positive stories amongst the news sources that I follow. I have to try to find them. Like, it's a task for me to find a positive news story.
Yeah, okay, but let's be honest. Positive news stories do not comedy make. Comedy's not for pleasant stories. There are not comedy characters that are having a good day.
No.
That's not how comedy works.
No, comedy is really to ease some kind of tragedy most of the time.
Well, comedy is to distract you from whatever tragedy is happening in your life, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest laughs I've ever had were at funerals.
Well, and let's be clear about it. I believe that you've said it on this show before. The only person who wouldn't be killed for making fun of the king is the jester, because that's kind of his job.
Sure.
He's the only one that's safe about making fun of the king in the court.
Yeah, but notice he also has a very low status.
He has a hugely low status.
He's not, like, he doesn't have anything. The only thing he has is the power to make fun of the king. That's literally all that he has. And let's be clear, if Jester makes a joke that the king decides is not okay, well, he's out. That's it. It's over now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what the internet is doing. The internet, in this analogy, the internet is king. And people trying to be jester at him all the time. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it gets kicked back.
Well,
and then sometimes they send your email and your home address to everyone in the world, and they send you hate letters and stuff.
Yeah. And let's use that as a springboard into the issue that kind of spurred this conversation earlier, which was the issue going on currently with James Gunn. There have been numerous people who have come out and said stuff that was supposed to be like, haha, funny on Twitter, all that kind of stuff, where now it's like, no, not funny. And it's like people have literally gone through and scoured through social media for the last decade and found things that these people have done. James Gunn, for instance, made some horrible jokes about pedophilia, made some horrible jokes about rape. And we were talking about it earlier, and I was like, you know, well, when is it ever funny to make a joke about rape?
I feel like it's not funny to make a joke about rape, but you made a point that unless it is the person who has been raped who makes a joke, then they're using the joke to create a means for them to get over the trauma. Yes, there's that. And I think years ago, there were lots of people that were making jokes about it. I'm not saying it was good or right, but previous to our sort of cultural renaissance, people made jokes about it and you just went, that's what they said. I mean, I'm sure plenty of the comedians that are out there that are like, you know, the ones that everyone loves and like, oh, they're so great. They probably made an offhanded comment about smacking a girlfriend or making sure she took it even if she didn't want to, even though it's not about them making a joke about rape. The thing is that now in our culture, we have given a voice to to the victims. And so the victims are standing up for themselves and saying, hey, that's not cool. And they're right to do so.
Absolutely.
In the same way that as the years go on, different people in society can't be made fun of anymore, right? So the reason why Blazing Saddles was a big hit when it came out was it was just on the cusp of the cultural renaissance between you can totally make fun of black people and it's okay, and no way is that okay anymore. It was right there. It existed in the world.
Yeah.
Right before that movie came out in that world, it was like, oh, we don't know anything. They tell, you know, they can make assumptions. There was also, I mean, let's be honest. It's not, yeah. People still say stuff today that are like stereotypical stuff.
Sure.
But then comedians who were African American, like Richard Pryor, came up. People were like, "Oh, maybe he's just a regular dude." Even though I guess regular dude isn't anything that it describes Richard Pryor. But regardless, he's definitely a comedian. He's definitely a genius, and he was part of writing this, right?
Yeah.
So between him
originally supposed to play
the new, yeah, that's a horse of a different color.
Yeah.
But with the Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor coming together, it was the old and the new coming together,
yeah,
in that moment of cultural renaissance, from don't make fun of this group to let's make fun of it so that we can make fun of the idea of making fun of this group, right?
Yeah.
Similarly now, with the movie Crazy Rich Asians that's coming out right now,
yeah,
there is a renaissance of Asian American actors and producers and writers and directors trying to get work out in Hollywood, because mostly people just give them dumb stereotypical roles, or they don't cast them at all, or they don't give them a chance.
Yeah.
They're not making television, they're not making movies because people aren't giving them support. They're like, they don't know what's going on. And it's like, are you kidding me right now? Like, everyone deserves it. If they're working hard, get them out there. So this movie, which also makes fun of a subset of Asian culture,
yes,
it is making fun of that group, but it's that group making fun of that group, right? It has,
yeah,
to, that each group goes through times when it's like, you can't even do it. Like, I remember a few years ago when Kimmy Schmidt came out, that television series on,
uh-huh,
Netflix, there was one Asian character. I want to say his name was something like Dong, and he was an idiot. Even though he was a genius, like the character was like both very smart and very stupid at the same time. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the one Asian character in this whole show. Like, that's terrible. You know, like,
yeah,
why? Like, it could literally have been anyone. Like, why did it have to be this one, like, stereotype where it's like the guy from 16 Candles or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like, oh God. And even that, it's like the fact that that's a regular thing that was in 16 Candles. Heck, we watch MASH all the time, and I'm always sad about the poor Asian actors on there that are mostly not Korean playing Koreans in this thing, and they're usually dumb or hassling or being crazy, you know?
Yeah, Pat Morita's in there playing a Korean.
Each group, you know, has a time when they're like, hey, everyone, it's not okay to make fun of us.
Yeah.
And then we all go, oh, you know what? You're right. It's not. Like, people used to make fun of handicapped. When I was growing up, legitimately, this is terrible, I worked at a home for mentally handicapped people, and it was called a center for retarded citizens. It was the word they used, but it was also the derogatory word that they used.
Yes.
So it was like clinical and derogatory, and then they removed it all together.
Yeah.
And now they don't use it anymore because it got to be where everyone was like, oh, by the way, it's not cool to make fun of them. All,
yeah,
I'm saying is sometimes there is a time when people will make fun of everything until someone stands up and says, that's not cool. You can't,
yeah,
make fun of that. Then people will go ahead and they'll stop doing it so that we can learn from it. What I think we need to talk about, though, is not whether or not we should, because realistically, if you're going to write a joke, like, you're going to have to aim high and you're going to have to work really hard to make sure that it's clever, because there are a lot of people out there making comedy and your one little joke means nothing. Like in the deluge of information that's out there, you have to be the best, or else why are you even putting it out there?
Well, I think one of the things that we need to talk about real quick is what is it? Why is there no separation between now and then? Why do we assume that somebody is the same person that they were a decade ago? Why do we – because, I mean, really, like, the comments, even the pictures that have surfaced recently of James Gunn at, like, a pedophile-themed party. Now, granted, I'm going to give you this. That's a horrible thing to go to. What kind of horrible person throws a pedophile-themed party?
Oh, yeah. No, that was never okay. There was never a time, by the way.
Never a time.
Despite my last discussion about how people were made fun of, and then all of a sudden they were like, hey, don't make fun of me, and then they weren't anymore. Yeah. Pedophiles, fuck you. Yeah. If you are touching kids, we will make fun of you till the day you die, because it's not okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
And, well, not just that, but it's one of those like, he made the jokes a decade ago.
Okay, two things about that. One, if you're a famous person, or if you're trying to be a famous person, you should always be going through your archive of shit and erasing stuff that is offensive. It will change. You need to be on top of that. Like, you know when people get on SNL? They have interns legitimately go through their entire Twitter and social media and delete things that they say that NBC doesn't want to be affiliated with. You should do that for yourself.
Yeah. It's
be the NBC in your life.
It's called curating an online identity.
Well, not only that is it's, and I'm not saying like just, you know, be racist but hide it.
Yeah.
I'm saying like if you want to be a famous person, especially now, you better be real nice to people, and also you better be damn careful what you say.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't know if that's good or not. Like, yes, it's good to be a good person. I'm happy for people to be a good person. I'm a good person. I don't think I've written anything on Twitter. Don't check, please. That says anything too deeply offensive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, what I always tell people that I've wanted to be famous since I was a little kid, or like I've been grooming myself to be famous since I was a little kid. I don't have a Boston accent.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, well spoken and I can talk to people. And also you know very little about me.
Are you lumping people from Boston together and saying that they're generally not intelligent? I'm just playing.
No, I'm saying they have a thick accent, which I do not have.
Absolutely true. And, you know, there is something to be said about curating that online identity. There is something to be said about being cognizant of what you put on social media. Because, yeah, there's stuff like, you know, Internet Wayback Machine and stuff like that, where it's just archiving screenshots of the internet on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's a thing. Erase it all day. It's still there.
It can still be found.
It's still there. Hey, everyone.
I reassembled an entire 65-page website from the Internet Wayback Machine.
Yeah.
My wife saw me do it in less than a day, rebuilding an entire website.
Screenshots.
Yeah.
Reading stuff off of screenshots.
Yeah. Copy, paste, change the font, paste it back into my website.
Oh, were you able to copy and paste?
Yeah, I was able to.
I
was able to highlight, copy that, paste it onto a document. I couldn't paste it from one page to the other, but I could paste it onto a Word document, copy it from that, paste it in, which was great.
What a nice company to make that website.
Because then I also got to archive them for myself page by page, as I did them as Word documents individually. So should it happen again, I have it all.
That is also helpful, though. You should always do that originally.
Yes.
But the fact that it's never gone.
It's never gone. It's always gone. Out there.
And whoever owns that website has everything.
And that's something that, you know, like, we have to consider. We have to think about those things. We have to wonder.
Okay, but wait, let's not talk about ourselves. Hold on. I want to talk about James Gunn.
Yeah.
We glazed over James Gunn.
Well, let's not glaze over James Gunn.
The issue at hand is James Gunn. James Gunn goes and does a couple of dumb joke tweets that every frat guy guys ever that's ever been out there has posted, right? Somebody finds it and brings it up and says, hey, look at this guy. He's a total asshole. Now, I'm not going to say that the jokes were good or right or whatever, nope. But the idea of getting in trouble for that totally sucks. However, turns out that that was just sort of like the whole the crack in the dam, because when they started to look, they then found that he's going to parties that are themed pedophile, which I'm going to be honest, like, did they mean like he's at like a Pizzagate event or that he's like going to some party where a person who's not a pedophile was like, wouldn't it be funny if this theme was pedophiles? And in which case, what happens at that party? And also why, who thought that was fun? How are these photos? Like, tell me what the photos are. I didn't see them.
Yeah, it's been a while. Most of it, if I'm not mistaken, it was like the idea was like a schoolgirl dirty old man party, something like that.
I see. Yeah. Oh, I mean, sexual fetish stuff. BT Dubs, don't bring cameras to your sexual fetish parties.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter how much you want to
turned off at the door.
No matter how much you want to commemorate the event for posterity. God. Yeah.
Nobody knows how an orgy these days.
Is that Demi Moore? Let's get a picture. You know,
Number one, it's not Demi Moore.
It's not Demi Moore.
Number two, turn your phone off.
Well, I think one of the issues is that these things with James Gunn happened back in the day where we didn't necessarily know that there were things like Internet Archive. We didn't necessarily know that there were sites out there that archived data, that archived screenshots of the internet, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. What was the name of that?
Well, that's Internet Archive.
Oh, no. It was the Wayback Machine. Mm.
There's also Internet Wayback Machine, yes.
There's multiple?
There are a few, yeah. There
Watch
are a few
out.
Different
Those
places
people,
that you can
we
go.
Gotta hope they're nice.
So, you know, it really is the situation of if you're going to be famous, if you want to be famous, if you want to be anybody of, you know, public face, you should really kind of curate what you say online. You should really kind of figure that out.
Honestly, really, the heart of the matter is you should curate who you are and try to be a nice person.
Yes.
The thing that is most important that I want to bring up that we talk about all the time is just be nice to each other.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the other person's shoes. Try to be nice. What are you trying to do? Like,
well, and that's just it. Run the joke through your own filters and imagine somebody making the joke about you or somebody that you know. And would the joke be funny? Would you laugh? That might be a good yardstick right there before you blurt the joke out, possibly insensitively amongst company or
I don't think it's possible that we're going to stop people from making dumb jokes.
Oh, no.
That is not
I don't think that.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
The problem is that we need to make people aware that their behavior is being watched. And like, not just from like the Snowden revelation being watched, but like, in general, people will call you out if you're a jerk to somebody on the street. People will call you out. So
yeah.
The best way for you to curate your life, your Facebook profile, your internet presence is to be a nice person.
Yeah.
Try to cool your heart. Try not to indulge in the anger. Anger is helpful. If anger can push you forward to do good things, if anger can motivate you, great. But if you feel anger and every time you feel anger, it causes you to go down a spiral of negativity, then you cannot make decisions or do things when you're angry.
Yeah.
I can feel it. When I started teaching acting, I was teaching people how to use their body and how to access emotions through physical motions.
Yeah.
I would say, let's do a monologue in the emotion and then figure out which part of your body tenses up. Are you happy? When you're happy, are you smiling all the time? Are your shoulders up? Are you like head high?
Yeah.
When you're angry, when I'm angry, my jaw gets hot and I feel like my neck starts to get a little tight, right?
Yeah.
When I can feel that in myself, I know it's not a good time to make decisions. And I only know that because I did the acting thing.
Yeah.
So part of what we were talking about earlier with comedy and there being certain ways to go about it and certain lessons, And also the idea that the internet is chock full of professional comedians, so you don't need to make your dumb joke.
Yeah.
But one of the things you get taught when you are training to, you know, be an actor is how to figure out how your emotions affect you. That's why actors and people are more empathetic, is because they can acknowledge something about themselves. Even you and I acknowledge our own, like the way we look at the world. We know we're like examining ourselves. We're examining the world around us. Some people just don't give a shit. Well, they're mean and that's it. But you got
to
be nice.
I think that also comes down to the fact of, despite our differences, we're willing to talk, we're willing to communicate, we're willing to actively listen to each other and our needs.
I accept being wrong.
Yeah.
I accept being wrong.
Yeah.
I am likely to be wrong a lot more.
Sure.
I just turned 40. I feel like this second half of my life is just me being an old person going like, I don't get the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, absolutely.
That his get eye off roll my lawn. You didn't see. He's like,
that
yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
You kids get off my lawn. And, you know, I think we as a society need to be more ready to have these conversations, not only with each other, but with ourselves. We need to be ready to openly look at our judgment in a mirror.
Yes, it is very important that you guys I know that right now is lots of hot button issues. There are people that you consider enemies. There are people that you think are doing terrible things, but you cannot do terrible things to terrible people.
That's right.
If you do terrible things to terrible people, you become a terrible person too.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You haven't done anything to unmuddy the water.
Yes. In fact, when I teach improv comedy, the basic rule is yes and. You have to accept the idea, the world that they build for you. If they walk in and they say, doctor, I'm hurt, you're not going to say, no, I'm not a doctor, and you're not hurt. Yeah. You're going to say, how can I help you? I'm a doctor.
About. I'm in a lawyer's office.
Right. It's about accepting the world. It's about going in it. I will tell my level one improv students that their scene is a glass of clear water until somebody negates something. And then a bit of blue ink has been put into that water. And that will shade the entirety of the scene. It can no longer be a scene without that negativity. It's there.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about life as well. If you are trying to live a positive life, if you're trying to make the world better, if you are upset that there are people out there doing negative things, you cannot put negativity in your own life.
Yeah,
you will drop ink into the clear liquid that is you and your soul, and you will become a bad person, the same as that other person.
Which then becomes the filter through which you see the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's muddied.
Yeah.
Exactly like you were saying.
And it's hard. And it's hard not to be a judgmental person. It's hard not to look at the things of James Gunn and go, oh my God, what a horrible human being. Like, that was a human being from 10 years ago, so far as we know right now. Even the pictures that came out from the sexual party. So is it horrible to go to, like, I wouldn't say it's necessarily great to go to a party themed in that way. But I've definitely been a part of things that are right on that line.
I mean, like in college, there were like pimps and hoes parties, and that's very inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you get older and you realize, you know, you're a little smarter and, you know.
And I think we as a society need to start looking at that. We as a society need to start considering that. I thank you very much for coming on the episode and talking about this, because it's something that we talk about on the show all the time, is the not just the oversensitivity of society, but where does comedy come from? Where do we draw the lines as a society with that kind of stuff? So
I think there's a lot that we can learn and a lot that we can do. Comedy is a way of expressing oneself.
Yeah.
You always have to be aware of that. And you have to try to be sensitive to what a person is expressing and why they're expressing it. Even when people say things that are terrible, they're probably just sad.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm about to have a young boy in school, and I will talk to him about bullies, about how bullies are the saddest of all of us.
Yeah.
Bullies are sadder than anyone. They have a crap life. And because of the negativity that they have in their life, the only lens through which they can look at things is that muddy water.
That's right.
They don't know how else to do. And I feel like there's a lot of that. So the only way that we are going to improve is for all of us to be nice to each other. Because if we think that we are safe and things are good around us, we are open to express ourselves. And then we're not going to make low-hanging fruit jokes just to get attention or just to get, validation, because we can be smart and we can do good things because the world around us supports us.
Yeah.
It's the only way we can get better, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Amy, thank you so much for coming on. Tell everybody where they can go to catch the Yes But Why podcast.
YesButWhyPodcast.com. YesButWhyPodcast.com. That's the website.
Yeah. You can also check out Yes But Why podcast on the HC Universal Network at HCUniversalNetwork.com. It's also available on the official HC Universal app, which is absolutely free right now. We are waiting for it to be approved by the Apple market, but it is available on Android right now. So if you're an Android user, feel free to download it. You'll have access to Yes But Why podcast, Dudes and Beer podcast, the upcoming Dudes and Beer Fantasy Football podcast, of course. Shout out to Matthew McPeak, our good commissioner and host of that. Can't wait till that starts up Thursday, everybody, Thursday morning.
Oh, wow. I have to watch football. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah. You get to watch football in the house now. Sorry. So until next time, everybody, make sure to go check all that out. Take care of yourselves. And if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.